Who or what are you putting your confidence and trust in? Tonight we're going to look at a story in Psalms chapter 4, so if you want to turn there. And I'll be honest, I haven't read too many of the Psalms, and honestly, up until last week when Pastor Jimmy gave us the ask of reading Psalms throughout the week and writing down what we took away from it and praying about certain things, hadn't really dawned on me to get into it. So I started reading. And I started in chapter 1, and I got to chapter 4, and chapter 4 really spoke to me. And to give you the context behind it, David, he's upset. In chapter 3, you can read about it. I would urge you to go read about it. But he's upset. There's people that are rising up against him. His son has turned against him, has rebelled against him, brought a group of people to say, hey, what David is doing, what my dad is doing, isn't right. And so I think we all know how mobs work. It's pretty easy to ruffle feathers and get a mob-type mentality going. So these people followed Absalom. They said, we're going to dog him on everything he does. His safety of his person wasn't necessarily in danger, but it was his reputation and who he stood for as a man. In the world, will cut us down. People will look at believers, they'll look at Christians. You look in Afghanistan, what's happening. I read an article, or maybe I heard on the radio, I didn't read an article, I heard on the radio that the Taliban is going door to door seeking Christians, taking their phones and scrolling through to see if they can find any sort of Bible app, and they're punishing them accordingly. I don't know what that means. I would imagine death. I don't know. But the world will rip you apart. And they're good at it. And there's a lot of them that are willing to do it. So where's your confidence? And where's your trust? Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask that you hear us tonight. I pray that all of the prayer requests might be heard, because we are a righteous people, because you've made us that way, Lord. I pray that you hear it. I pray that you look at our hearts, God, and maybe the words that we're not willing to say, Lord, that you correct us, you reprove us, you convict us where we need to be convicted. God, fix us, mold us into the people that are pleasing to you, that we might bring glory somehow to you tonight, whether it be through song, through praise, through prayer, or through the delivering of your word. God, I pray that your spirit be with each and every one of us tonight. I pray that we leave a changed people and take some of these things to heart. God, I pray that if we are Christians, Lord, that we might be reminded who you are and understand who you are as a father and what you want for our lives. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we see, this is a picture of my life. I go to God in prayer. I think about something that upset me. I go back and it keeps doing this flip-flop pattern. It's almost like David's a real person, you know? It's almost like he dealt with the same things that we deal with. And I saw that and I was looking at it and I was like, man, he ain't any different than we are. He's the same type of person. He serves the same God that we serve. But we can see in verse 1 the emotion that he brought to the Lord. He needed God's attention. He said, Lord, hear me. God, I have a problem. The world can't fix it. Lord, I'm being slandered by these people. Lord, they're running my name through the mud. Lord, my son rebelled against me. Hear me. He's trying to get God's undivided attention. I think we're too quick on prayer sometimes and we just run through. We don't want him to really listen. We want to say it because it makes us feel good, get it off our chest, so to speak. But how many of us actually take the time and say, God, listen to what I'm telling you? It's almost grabbing him, say, God, please, pleading with him to hear our case, to hear the issues that we're going through. Well, it's easy to see that David is at this point. He's crying out to God, "Hear me, Lord. Hear me." And he recognizes who God is. He says, "God, the only reason you should hear me is because of my righteousness. Not the righteousness that I put on myself. Not the righteousness that I grab. Not my self-righteousness that people claim to that I have. But Lord, the righteousness that you have given me. Hear me because of this. Because of my the ailing that is going on in my life right now. Hear me, God." You see, he acknowledged that God was the giver of his righteousness. He realized very quickly that if it wasn't for this, why should God listen? He said, "No, but I know that God will hear me because of this. He will hear my prayer because he's given me righteousness." And he goes on to say, "You have relieved me in my distress." Now, the distress is what is happening in chapter 3. Like I said earlier, you can go ahead and read that, but we all have distress in our life. We all have something that we are fighting with, fighting against, wrestling with daily, weekly. Might be a person, it might be our spouse in some cases, might be a member with the church. Might be God's, or it might be something. We all have some sort of distress. If we didn't, we wouldn't need God to lean on. But again, David realizes, "Lord, you have delivered me from my distress. Lord, you have taken this hardship that I'm going through and pulled me out of it. Lord, you are the one who takes me from a pile of nothing into something for you." And he's saying, "God," it's almost as if he's drawing on past experiences, saying, "Lord, you've done it once. Lord, you've done it twice. Lord, you've done it three times. I know that you can do it again." And you can see the confidence in his words here. "Lord, you're the one." He's not saying, "Look what I got myself out of." He's saying, "God, you took care of it. And you're going to continue to take care of it." Last part, as I was reading it, kind of struck me because he says, "Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Why would somebody like David need mercy still after he's following God? Well, you ask yourself the same question. Why do we need mercy? I don't know if I'll let you in on a little secret, but we're still sinners. And he's going to a holy God and asking him to hear him. "Lord, hear my problem. You've delivered me from it. Lord, have mercy on me as you have before, because I know that I am still a sinner." You see, there's no conflict of who God is in this relationship with David. There's no, "Oh, I'll try and be God during this time." He says, "No, God, you are the God. I understand that you are the God that's going to deliver me from my ailment. I'm just a guy that's ailed. I'm just a guy that doesn't have anywhere else to turn, but I know that you're going to be there because you've done it. 1, 2, 3, and the list goes on. I know he's done it for you guys, amen. I know he's done it for me multiple times. But he says, "Hear me, Lord. You've relieved me. Have mercy on me, and please hear me." He goes on to verse 2, and he asks a very valid question. This kind of that flip-flop. He's asking God. He says, "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame?" Saying, how long is this going to continue? How long are you going to slander me? You know, God, through the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross, he takes you from shame to glory. The world is trying to reverse it by saying, the Bible you read, the prayers you pray, the God you worship, the God you follow, the church you attend, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. And I know that we've all faced adversity in this place, outside these walls. When we tell people what we're about, where we're going on Wednesday night, instead of going to a swimming pool, you come here to hear the word of God. Instead of sleeping in on Sunday morning, you come here to hear the word of God. Sunday nights, you come here to hear the word of God. And people look at you like you're insane. They say, why would you meet three times a week to hear God's word? Well, because I love him. Because it teaches me something. Because I already know how to live in the world. I want to learn how to be a little bit closer to God and figure out what he wants for my life. And we do it here. But the world says, no. That glory, that self-righteousness that you guys have, that we have, woo, we know it ain't self-righteousness. We know our righteousness comes from the Lord, just as David did. And we're confident what God can pull us through. But he asks this. He says, how long will you turn my glory to shame? And how long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Ow. Those aren't very nice words. What he's saying is, when are you going to get it right? Why are you chasing the things of the world? Why are you so worried about what so-and-so thinks about you? Why are you so wrapped up in material things? Why do you love the things that are worthless? And I would like to do an all-encompassing definition of worthlessness, and that is things outside of God's will, God's plan, God's word. All of it. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but all of it is worthless. The women, the spouse, the men, whatever it may be, the relationships that you have, the drugs that you do, the alcohol that you drink, the pornography that you look at, oh, it feels good for a while. But if it's outside of God's word and what he planned for your life and the will that he has for your life, it ain't worth nothing. That's what David says here. How long are you going to live in it? How long are we going to continue down the path? How long are we going to say, well, I'll make an excuse for it this time? How long are you going to do it? And not only how he asks, how long will you love worthlessness, he says, how long will you seek falsehood? You know the Bible is true, right? We're all on the same page here. The Bible is true. Every word in this book is true. Falsehood. How long will you seek? It's not a lift something. It's not a husband seek where we can't find the remote and look for it and you realize you're sitting on it. It's not one of those. It's I'm going to go look for falsehood. I'm going to go seek the opposite of God's word, which is false. I'm going to go, in my time of distress, I'm going to go to the world with the problem I have because they're going to give me an answer that I want. They're always going to give me an answer that I want because they relate to it. They say, yeah, I don't know about God, but I know about this situation. No, you don't. No, you don't. You've been through it. You don't know about it. God knows about it. He knows how to take you from it. It don't matter the experiences that you've lived through. Praise God for the testimonies, and don't get me wrong. Praise God for the testimonies of him pulling you out of those things. But if we're still seeking those, if we're still seeking the falsehood and the lies so that we can twist something into our narrative to make sure that it fits every aspect of how we want it to layer down, David's asking, how long are you going to do it for? Maybe a better question is, where's it going to get you? You can do as long as you want, but I like to tell you, if you're a competitive person or not, you're going to lose. Where does it get you? Where's worthlessness in seeking falsehood? Where does it get you? Well, I know what God's word says about it, where it gets you. Four-letter word. Some churches don't like saying it. Hell. Four-letter word. You continue in this lifestyle and you do not change and you do not put your trust and confidence in the Lord. That's where it gets you. That's where it gets you. So how long are you going to be in it? You can get out tonight. You can get out tonight. And he moves on to verse 3. And he says, while you can stay in this lifestyle, did you know? He says, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. He reminds himself in the midst of what is going on and the people that are running him down. David says, did you know? While you're living in this, you can have the world and everything in it. But did you know that when you follow God, he sets you aside? He sets you aside for his glory. The world will eat you up, man. You'll get lost in the crowd. Don't know which way's up, which way's down. God says, no, I'll pull you out of that. Set you right over here. You don't got to worry about being trampled by the world. I'll protect you. I'll take you. Why do we set things apart? Because we care about them. We got our special china at home that we don't bring out until Thanksgiving. That's styrofoam, but you know it's what we're working with. But that we save that for the most important people in our lives. But we set it apart. We set things apart because we care about them. We don't want to see them get lost in the mix. We don't want to see them get lost in the world. We don't want to see them continue in the same lifestyle that they're living. God does the same thing for us. And he takes care of us. And what a blessing. What a reminder. God's got us. And here's where I notice David's confidence mostly. He says, the Lord will hear me when I call. As if he had a light bulb go up in his head and say, Lord, I know the things that I'm going through in my life. All of these people are dogging me. I'm getting run down. My name's getting run down. My son is rebelling against me. It was almost that aha moment, like it was all of a sudden in his writing that he thought, oh, I do serve a God that's bigger than these things. I do serve a God that has set me aside. I do serve a God that does listen to me when I talk. If you were here last Wednesday, side note, praise the Lord for that, because I know God heard us. All of the prayers that we prayed, we had time to lay our distress at God's feet and have Him take care of it. And if you weren't here, I hope you had a good reason, because you missed out on a lot. It was a true blessing. It was a true blessing to be here. And I hope we do more of those. That was awesome. That was encouraging. All through the week, that encouraged me. Praise the Lord for that. But we serve a God who hears us when we call. And David's reminding us that, hey, y'all, God is listening. He's a holy God and He cares about. Isn't that wild? That God cares enough about us as people, as wretched, sinful people, to say, hey, I'll listen to you. Whatever you're going through in life, whatever's ailing you, whatever it may be, I got two ears and they both work. And He sent a spirit to comfort us and intercede. And praise the Lord for that. Then He goes back to, in verse 4, He goes back to this. So He's upset, obviously. He's still upset. He says, be angry and do not sin. 2 Timothy 2:19 also tells us that. To be angry and do not sin. Excuse me, Ephesians 4:26 says that. He had the right to be angry too. He was a king. He got run off. He was upset. You know, it's okay to be upset about things when things don't go our way, when we don't think we got dealt the right hand. What's not okay, as God's word says, is to sin. Not okay. I've been angry multiple times. Today has been a good day, so I haven't been angry today, which is good. But I've been angry, and we've all been angry. Yeah, good day, good. We've been angry. It's okay to be upset about certain things. But if we believe that God is the God of verses 1 through 3. Is He not going to take care of us? Do we not trust that the Lord is going to pull us into Him and take care of us? Because if we do, what do we got to be angry about? He's going to handle it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to deliver us from those distresses of the world every day if we let Him. We like holding on to things, though, sometimes. Putting it in our pocket and pulling it out next time we're upset because we hadn't dealt with it before. We didn't deal with it the last time we were upset, so we just hold on to it. And by the time you know it, you got this big ball of anger here, and you put up the nice china, and you get yelled at. It all comes out. God says, when it happens, the moment it happens, the moment you're being ailed, give it to me. Give it to me. I'd like to remind you guys that Matthew 11:30 says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus will take care of it. You can be upset. You don't got to sin, though. Give it to Jesus. Give it to God. He'd be more than happy to take it off your hands. And He'd be more than happy to tell you how to fix it so you don't got to go through it again. Then He goes on to say, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. He's saying, remove yourself. When you're angry, I don't know how many of y'all sit around and try and fix something when you're angry. Sometimes we do it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we try and sometimes it don't work. He's saying, remove yourself, meditate. And it's not the Eastern meditation where you clear your mind and you sit out, blow it out. It ain't that. It's saying, meditate on God, on my word. Fill your mind, fill your heart, fill your spirit with this. Because if we leave our self open, there's some spirits that can get in there, get you a little worked up if you let them. Work you up quick, too, because when you're mad, all you're looking for is things to make you more mad. And God says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Verse 5, he says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. You see, David understands the importance of religious things. Sacrificing in those times were an act of dealing with sin. He said, take care of it. Thanksgiving. Take care of it. He understands the importance of these religious things, but he also understands who God is. Because with these religious things, if you just come to church and you just sit in the pews, or you just serve on Wednesdays or Tuesdays at the ministries, or whatever you're doing, if you're just doing the religious things and thinking you're all right, folks, you ain't all right. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people give to charities. A lot of people do all those religious things, but he also says, and trust the Lord. You take care of it. You trust the Lord. You say, well, here's where I draw the line, Phil. I don't trust nobody. Sure you do. Now, I got a problem with trust. No, you don't. You have a problem with commitment. You say, well, how dare you say that? Well, you go to the doctors? Yeah, everybody's been to the doctor. You don't know what his medical degree's in, but you know he's got one. You trust him when you go in when you're sick and you say, hey, I got a problem, doc. And he says, okay. He says, let's check you out, what's going on. And everybody has COVID now, so it makes it real simple. He says, COVID, here you go, quarantine for 2 weeks. But he says, okay, here's your ailment, went to medical school. I got D's, but D's get degrees, I hear. I got D's, but trust me, because I have this MD behind my name. And you go to him, it might be a first-time doctor, you go to him, you got trust that he's going to take care of you because he's a doctor. And then he writes some little scribble down on a piece of paper, and he says, all right, now take this to the pharmacy. You don't know what the heck you're reading. You don't know what it is. It's just scribbles. You all seen doctor's notes. You're like, all right, they know how to read this. He says, yep, they'll take care of it. They'll get the prescription filled, and then you'll feel better. And you're like, all right. So you drive to CVS and you say, hey, I need this filled. And they look at it and say, oh, okay, got this. Fill it out. You don't know what the heck these pharmacists. You trust them, though, because they got the little pharmacy schooling. I don't know how to make drugs and the right amounts of everything, but you trust them. You say, hey, this is what the doctor said I need. I know you know how to make it. Never met you before in my life, but I trust you with helping me feel better. They say, okay, they read the chicken scratch and they give you this thing, you know, 15 to 20 minutes later, boom, here you go, take two twice a day with food. You say, all right, you take it, boom, before you know it, you feel better. Trust somebody you never met in your life with drugs that are going into your body. Don't tell me you can't trust the Lord. You just don't want to give up your Sunday mornings. You just don't want to give up your Wednesday nights, because then you got to change something about yourself. You look in and you say, well, I like going to church when it's convenient for me. I like hearing the Bible. I ain't going to read it, but I like hearing it when it's preached. But as far as me trusting God with my life, nope. Because the way she's living, I see a difference in her, and it don't add up with what I want my life to be. I'm not going to trust God because the way she's living is different than the way that she used to live. And I see it, and I don't want it to affect me one bit. So they'll show up when it's convenient. They'll do the religious things, but they won't trust. They won't trust. And then the chirping continues from the peanut gallery as he's continuing writing this song. He says, and then there's many who say, because they don't stop, guys. The world doesn't stop. They'll kick you when you're down. Right as soon as you're having a good day, they'll say, nope, leg's coming out from under you. I got something else for you. And they do it all the time. Do it all the time. It says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? The world says, hey, you know that God that you serve? Why do you let my kid die? Hey, that God that you serve, why do you make me lose my job? Why did my wife of 11 years leave me and take my kid? You want me to trust that? Where's the good? Where's the good? Well, the good can be found in this book. But we're too busy seeking, seeking falsehood. The good can be found in this book. And despite what the world says, David says, nah, I'm going to trust the Lord. Because what does he say? What's he say at the tail end of verse 6? He says, Lord, he got his ear again. He says, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. He says, God, show your face on these people. Show him the mercy. Show these people the mercy that you've given to me. Show these people the love and the compassion. Let your countenance be known in the world. And it is. The world knows about him. They just don't want him. They hear about God. They just don't want him. They don't want to trust in God because they'll have to change something. They see the good. They know the good. They're just rebelling. They don't want any part of it. The world doesn't want one bit of it. But David still asks for him. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Move on to verse 7. He says, coming full circle. Though all of these things are happening, though all of these people are dogging me still, they just brought it back up. He says, you. Again, he's recognizing and understanding who God is in his life. He says, you have put gladness in my heart. God, only you have put the gladness in my heart. When the world is cutting us down, when the world is mocking us, laughing at us, questioning why we believe what we believe, laughing in our faces, making fun of us to our families, our wives, cutting us down, whatever it may be, we can be happy through it all. We can be glad through it all. At least we forget Jesus also went through this a lot worse than any of us will. But he says, Lord, you alone have put gladness in my heart. So when I run into this adversity, when I have to deal with these people, when I have to deal with these naysayers, when I have to preach to these people, Lord, you put gladness in my heart. And he says, even more so, more than in the seasons that their grain and wine increase, that their grain, he's talking about these people who are dogging him, more so, it's easy to be happy when things are going well. It's easy to be glad when the marriages are good. It's easy to be glad when the good times are flowing, when the good things are going, when you're doing what you want to do and you're getting a paycheck and all these things are happening and you're doing things, it's easy to be happy. What about in the tough times? I'm telling you guys, when I spoke the word today at church, I'm doing that now, at work, it's been a long day. It's a good day, but a long day. When I spoke the word and prayed with that man, you should have seen how quick his demeanor changed. He realized, he remembered, like David, that's right. This is a terrible situation to be in for anybody. But I do remember what God's word says. I do remember the God I serve. I do understand who he is. And I'm giving it to him. Lord, help me through this. And we prayed and it was a great time. And he had a smile on his face the rest of the day. I talked to him. Hey, man, how's it going? Awesome. Awesome. God's good. Yeah, he is. Amen. Sometimes it takes a little reminder who God is. For us to remember how great of a God we serve. You know, it's the 21st century, and I'm still handwriting these notes. I should type these things. I can't read them half the time. But, so verse 8, the conclusion that he draws from all of this is though, he says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He says, God, the world can take, the world can punish, the world can steal, lie to me, run my name down. I can be rejected by my own kids, lose my kingdom, whatever it may be. The world can do that, but because of the God that you are, the God that we all serve because of that, in our understanding of that, in our confidence, in our trust in Him, we too can lie down in peace and sleep. I know sometimes we'll lay down in bed wondering what tomorrow is going to bring, and we twiddle our thumbs and we say, Lord, how can I stop right there? Lord, how can I? You can't. You ain't going to make any situation better. I found through my personal experiences that a lot of times I make them worse. As hard as I try, as good as I think I'm doing, as happy as I am, I screw it up. But because of the God we serve, and how He hears us, and how He loves us, and all of these things, we too can lie down and sleep in the midst of whatever distress that we're in during the day. So in closing, I'd like to remind you, saints, that God's got you. Those who believe in Christ, the Lord will take care of you. You just got to go to Him. You know He's listening. And I know that you know He's listening. And I know that He'll take care of you. Why? Because He's done it for me. How do we get confident in something? We do it multiple times. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, he's an electrician by trade. He'd go into a house and they'd say, this light isn't working. And I'm like, he probably can't fix it. Doing it for 30 some years. Well, by golly, he fixed it. And he didn't have any blueprint or schematic or anything. He's just like, follow the wires and boom, turn this off. Phil, hold this flashlight. I got really good at holding flashlights. Hold this, we'll take care of it. Boom, he fixes it. Boom, light bulb in. He's out of there. How did he get so good at that? How did he get so confident that he wasn't going to get electrocuted? Because he's done it thousands and thousands of times. We have the opportunity to get in God's Word every single day and figure out what He wants for our lives. We just got to take it. So we too can be confident that He's going to hear us when we call out to Him. That we too will be confident that when we lie down for bed every night, we'll be able to sleep. And we'll be able to sleep in peace because of the God that we serve. Now to the lost, people that aren't quite sure about trusting God, maybe you fell into that category tonight. Not quite sure if you want to. Well, I've already told you where the... I'll put it like this. I'm confident in your eternity because of God's Word. Why not trust Him tonight? You got nothing to lose. You're on the tail end of a losing battle anyways. Trust Him. See how He can't change your life. Let's stand.